Well, when she's not playing disc jockey here at the WTIP, Kathy Quinn is a wilderness ranger for the Gunflint District National Forest Service. And she joins us this morning to talk about how to prepare for the boundary waters, because a lot of times people aren't all that well prepared. Now, you've been doing this, you told me, how many years?
19 now.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So you've seen it all.
I started when I was 2.
Okay. Like the mayor of...
I heard that earlier, yeah.
Right. Okay.
The 4-year-old mayor.
Well, so listen, first of all, what makes it so special, the boundary waters, to be prepared? I mean, what are we going to run into when we're out there? If we haven't been out there, do you absolutely have to have besides good sense?
Well, I guess, yeah. I mean, my motto when people ask me, like, where should I go? What should I do? What's the best place to go to? It's like, okay, let's not even worry about that yet.
Mm-hmm.
What the most important thing you can do to have a very successful trip and a good wilderness experience is to plan ahead and be prepared. We have these 7 leave no trace principles, mm-hmm. that we kind of like to talk about when we meet visitors out in the woods. And that to me is the number one important one, because if you do the first one right, everything else falls in line after that, real simply. So,
and the first one would be?
Plan ahead and be prepared.
Okay.
Plan ahead and prepare. So if you plan ahead and prepare, and that means, I think, number one, understanding your skill level and the skill level of everyone in your group. So, Jay, you and I, if we're going to go on a trip, we should do a trip that suits both of us. Not that just suits you.
Mm-hmm.
Not that just suits me. One that we both are physically capable of doing. We have the same expectations of, you know, how do we want to travel? Do we want to move every day? Do we want to base camp? We need to be in agreement about, you know, what the expectations are and what our skill levels are.
That would be remaining in the cabin and...
I know
cooking
you,
on a gas stove.
You used to go out there. You can't fool me.
I know. I've been out a few times.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I see a lot of now is people dragging so much junk out on their canoe trips.
Really?
With them. Yeah. And then they're unable to travel very deep into the wilderness. So there's a tendency to just go one portage in, or maybe not even go off that first lake and just plopper down for, you know, 3-4 days and just sit there. You know, if we all do that, then you're going to sit on a campsite looking across the lake at another campsite that's full. There's going to be canoes going by all the time. But if we lighten our loads and we just take what, you know, the right gear, all the right equipment, not lawn chairs, not tables, not coolers, you know, pack light, mm-hmm. extremely light and simple. Take what you need, be safe, obviously, but just lighten your load. You're going to travel faster and further, and you'll have a better wilderness experience if you get away from those, you know, congested areas.
That's going to require acquiring one way or another some pretty specialized equipment.
There are plenty of businesses that can get you hooked up with the right equipment and not have to purchase all of that on your own, because it is daunting. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm a big fan of not bringing the kitchen sink, but yes, bringing you have a first aid kit, obviously. You have water filters that work. Test all of your equipment before you go. Set your tent up before you go. Doesn't matter how many times you've used it. It's happened to me. You get out there, you're like, oh my God, I'm missing a pole. Well,
yep.
I hope I got enough rope to string this thing up, you know? And so even the most seasoned person can blow it if they're being complacent.
Now, what about portages? A lot of times people, and I know I did too, plan trips around the shortest portage as mm-hmm. possible. But as I understand it, when we had the big rains, that really caused some problems, both on connector streams, mm-hmm. I guess, as well as on portages.
For sure. A lot of flooded portages, a lot of mud. And then the big thing, when we get these really torrential rains that we seem to be getting on a more regular basis mm-hmm. the last several years now, we've had, you know, a 9-inch dump one year, and last year we had a huge 7 to 9-inch. This year we've had a 5-inch one storm. So when you get these major storms that come through and just dump a tremendous amount of rain in a short period of time, a lot of these connector streams between lakes that often are where our portages run mm-hmm. parallel to, mm-hmm. they get moving. And so what I learned on this last during this last storm where we got about 5 inches of rain is I've been over this one portage I don't know how many times, especially when the ice goes out. So water's high, running pretty hard. I'd never seen this stream look like it had. And so I've been doing this a while. And so what it says to me is it doesn't really matter how experienced you are, how many times you've traveled a certain area. When you get a major event like that, it's a new ball game. So you need to think like, maybe I'm not going to go over that portage. Maybe I need to have an alternative mm-hmm. route mm-hmm. that, you know, is a backup plan in case we run into a situation like that. People also need to expect to get wet. You know, your feet are going to be wet. They're going to be muddy. And the sooner you just accept that and just get in the water or walk through that mud hole, you actually will move faster and easier and get where you need to be quicker because you're not tiptoeing around mm-hmm. trying to, you know. It causes erosion, too.
Do you see a lot of people who think that when you say pack light, that means, oh, I'll catch my my meal?
No, we don't see that as much anymore, and I'm grateful for that because good. Most people don't catch their meal. I hate to say it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
There are people who really understand how to fish these waters, and maybe they have been doing so for eons, but most people that we run into out there are not very successful, I would say, in their fishing. And so, yeah, bring food and bring a stove. You know, I mean, we may get up 5 inches of rain and good luck getting your fire going the next day. I'm a big fan of people bringing stoves and cooking on your stoves. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, not everybody understands proper firewood collection, and that is to go and get firewood away from anybody's campsite or your campsite. Don't just walk behind your campsite towards your latrine, mm-hmm. start grabbing wood, because guess what? Everybody's got the same idea. Get up and get in your canoe, paddle down the shore, walk inland a little ways. You're going to find more firewood than you can possibly use. Fill your canoe up, bring it back. So the can and bottle rule it's an old one. It's been in effect for quite some time, and it is a result of people just carrying in their food and cans and bottles and then deciding, I don't feel like bringing this out. We're just going to dump it. And there was a time where that was the procedure. Just dump your cans in the lake or dump them off in the woods and that's fine. Well, guess what? Pretty soon you get bear problems, critter problems. It's just ugly, you know, to run into somebody's trash dump. Pack light, go further, have a better experience.
We've been speaking with Kathy Quinn. She is, since age two, a wilderness ranger here at Out of the Gunflint Station.